You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing, is the death of USAM broadcast radio exaggerated? What we know and one key thing we do not, by Frank M. Howell, Ph.D., K4FMH. What we do not know from public data is ad revenue to AM stations by media market. Clearly, audience penetration, reach, is related to ad revenue on a per-station basis. Nielsen does not publish ad revenue specifically for AM radio, independent of combining it with FM radio, so that key outcome for AM radio viability is unknown to the public. My research here, however, shows no signs that the precursors to ad revenue, number of licenses or audience reach, is at a critical level nationally. I do find that there are signs of a market shakeout in some media markets which I identify in this study. I will review the claims that AM radio is dead to identify the predicates used to justify the gloomy forecast. We will see that none are based upon generalizable data to the nation. Claims that AM radio is dead. There are many claims that AM broadcast radio in the U.S. is dying, or even outright dead. I hasten to say up front that so many who base their forecasts on short cycle rates assume that they will hold well into the future. They tend not to. Here are some highlights illustrating the claims with the predicates used to justify them. Highly publicized station closings. A highly publicized closing of AM stations by the author Stephen King led to numerous stories about the industry's demise, including a prominent one in the New York Times. But now King, 77, is getting out of the radio business, having covered steady losses that the station said had run into millions of dollars over the years. Taylor, New York Times, December 3, 2024. This led to a spike in Google searches about Stephen King in the business and industrial category in November 2024, with cascading stories throughout various media outlets. Analysis not shown here. This is just one popular example of singular events shaping future prognostication about AM broadcast radio. We will see that it was more likely because his stations were in Bangor, Maine, a weak media market for AM radio. Overgeneralized personal experience. Some base their forecasts on their personal windshield, as I call the fallacy of using only what an individual observes as a window to the entire world without regard to larger sets of observations that reflect the views or behaviors of a much larger collective. For instance, a ham radio operator wrote an op-ed article in 2019 with this assessment. Today, my daily routine includes downloading the latest podcasts before my run, asking Alexa for the forecast, and catching up on the latest news throughout the day through streaming audio, often accompanied by video. Although I still own a shortwave receiver in the form of a module in my ham radio transceiver, terrestrial AM radio is no longer part of my life, and I'm not alone. Bergeron, 2019. As we will see below, Bergeron is not alone, but he does not run in as large a crowd as his 2019 op-ed in a popular electronics magazine suggests. He further says that the last stop for AM radio is in mobile radio, but it will not last as automobiles are becoming internet hubs. His listening to radio during drive time, he says, will soon go the way of shortwave listening. Question of AM in automobiles. The political and regulatory debate over AM radios being in new automobiles is indeed a vibrant discussion. Congress has the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, with provisions for the NHTSA to require new autos to have this capability. The logic of it flies in the face of those who say AM's time is gone as the audience is far from nil. In addition, AM radio has existed in a system involving national security and safety through the emergency broadcast system. Gitlin, 2024. This does not stop naysayers on the future of AM broadcasting. Jacobs Media wonders if it is enough to save AM radio in cars, since no technology, platform, or medium is safe when the automakers have the right of way, and they almost always do. Jacobs, 2024. Thus, some leverage the adage that the powerful always win as the fulcrum upon which they base their future vision. Sentimentalism surrounding the AM medium. Some base it on sentimentalism, the first radio technology widely adopted over a century ago, is difficult to see become passé. A popular photographer who also loves radio gave both a sentimental view buttressed with some observations about the industry. "I get it. AM radio is a 100-year-old technology. FM is better. Satellite even better with no commercials. Some of my coworkers listen to podcasts on their way into work. Odyssey, the third largest radio company in the U.S., just emerged from bankruptcy. Auto manufacturers are talking about not even putting an AM radio in cars anymore. And I'm not sure how many commercials for ED drugs and tax relief it takes to keep paying the electric bills for a 50,000-watt AM transmitter. I don't think AM is dead, but it's certainly dying. And that makes me misty." J.R. Smith, 2024. Another writer, this time a humor columnist, published an op-ed in a Maine newspaper with this palliative care statement. "You had a great 100-year run, AM radio, and your demise is breaking my heart. Why? In part, because of the emergence of electric vehicles. It's regrettably true that the economic and cultural heyday of AM radio is well behind us." Purcell, 2024. Miscellaneous random events. One of the most practical set of reasons to explain the celebrated closing of AM stations is by an online moderator of a forum called Radio Discussions. David Eduardo posts this summary. "I can't cite a count because I don't think there is one. Stations turning in their license just tell the FCC no more. The reasons may be a variety of things. Owner died, station was a one-man show and nobody in family wants it and it can't be sold. Land is worth more than the station and moving would be too costly, hard to do due to zoning. Landowner terminates lease. Station is not profitable, and owner can't find a buyer. Catastrophic failure of equipment, fire at studios, and not fully covered. Cost too great versus potential profit. Battle of partners. Station goes silent, and nobody manages to file necessary papers. FCC fine, short-term renewal, or other commission issues make it too uncertain and owner just wants to get out." As we will see below, specific radio markets differ, sometimes widely, in their use of AM radio. What causes a license cancellation in one market may simply not be a significant problem in another. This may vary greatly from one station location to another within the same media market as well. As David Eduardo wrote, "There may be a variety of things that shape ownership of an AM broadcast station, but there does not seem to be one single thing. This hardly portends for a nationwide death-and-dying scenario that one can put their finger on." Long-term perspective. The comments offered by Katie Thornton on a PBS interview gives a broader historical perspective, typically overlooked when considering, say, a popular author like Stephen King suddenly getting out of AM broadcasting. And I think, really, since the inception of broadcast, you know, popular broadcast radio, there have been sort of rumors of its death, rumors of the death of radio for almost 100 years now. People said that commercials on the radio were going to kill radio. People said FM would kill AM. TV would kill AM. The internet would. These are still, you know, they give AM a run for their money. But AM still holds its own. It's still really influential. Thornton, 2023. Very few of these claims have predicates that are based upon observable facts that rise to large groups of stations, their audience, or advertisers who invest their dollars in using radio to reach their desired market. Some point to aspects of local media markets that may shape AM broadcasting viability. I now turn to the best available public data on those elements of the issue where we will see quite a different picture and perhaps an alternate explanation. An image on this page shows a table of data. The text reads, United States Broadcasting Station Totals. Date, 1922. AM, 30. Nothing listed for FM. 1930, 618 AM stations. None listed for FM. 1940, 847 AM stations. And 3 educational FM stations. 1950, 2,144 AM stations, 691 commercial FM stations, 62 educational FM stations. 1960, 3,483 AM stations, 741 commercial FM stations, and 165 educational FM stations. 1970, 4,288 AM stations, 2,126 commercial FM stations, 416 educational FM stations. 1980, 4,689 AM stations, 3,390 commercial FM stations, 1,156 educational FM stations. September 30th, 1990, 4,978 AM stations, 4,357 commercial FM stations, 1,435 educational FM stations. September 30th, 2000, 4,685 AM stations, 5,892 commercial FM stations, 2,140 educational FM stations. September 30th, 2010, 4,784 AM stations, 6,512 commercial FM stations, 3,251 educational stations, 864 low-power FM stations. September 30th, 2020, 4,560 AM stations, 6,704 commercial FM stations, 4,196 educational FM stations, 2,143 low-power FM stations. The caption reads, Table 1. Back to the text. Examining key elements of AM broadcasting. If AM radio is truly dying, we would expect to see several things. The number of licensed AM stations would decline, especially by historical comparison as well as relative to FM stations. Many say FM offers superior fidelity to the listener and withstands the dreaded static of both households and autos, especially EVs. If conditions that inhibit AM broadcasting are the same for FM stations, then it is perhaps an issue for both modes of transmission. That would mean that perhaps both AM and FM radio is on the decline. Moreover, we would expect the trends in their respective license numbers be opposite over time, such that FM is growing while AM is declining, if AM is losing out to FM broadcasting. In addition, we would anticipate that the annual fluctuations in AM versus FM station licenses to be much more volatile for AM than FM. We would also expect the audience reach for AM radio to be in decline. If the audience share is not declining, then it is not an indication that AM broadcasting is losing its place in the media market. Therefore, ad revenue would be on the decline for AM as a result, since audience reach is a driver for advertising cost. Unfortunately, there is no public source for ad revenue specifically for AM radio, as it is universally reported for AM and FM radio together. This is one key variable that we do not have available in this study. Finally, these are national trends. Often national patterns can be driven by localized market change. We compare the available data on broadcast licenses for both AM and FM in Nielsen's designated market areas, DMA, as well as the audience reach for them as recently published by Nielsen 2023. We use these recent Nielsen data to see how the national data are influenced by a few local markets. If there are significant spatial patterns in license cancellations or audience reach among DMAs, then we may find that it is a media market shakeout, where some markets are more challenging for AM broadcasters than others. Should these patterns also hold for FM broadcasting, our conclusion would be that these market conditions are not unique to AM radio. Number of station licenses over time. Using FCC data, AM and FM stations licensed since 1922 through 2020 are in Table 1. The decadal rise in AM stations since 1922 shows the post-World War II boom, growing from 30 to 2,144 by 1950. The emergence of licensed FM stations began this year with 691. The key data point to emphasize is that the U.S. has had over 4,000 AM stations in operation since 1970. It was the year 2000 when commercial FM licenses surpassed AM stations. The emergence of FM educational stations, also launched in 1950, has grown to be on par with AM stations, 4,196 to 4,560. We will see that this license has continued to prove popular, especially with recent networks of nonprofit religiously oriented programming, e.g., Educational Media Foundation. When the FCC authorized low-power FM stations in 2009, their license base grew quite a bit as well. Therefore, AM station licenses have indeed declined by about 400 from their peak in 1990. But let us look more closely in the recent decade or so. An image on this page shows trends in the number of broadcast licenses for the different classifications. The time period is 2010 to 2024. The trend lines are flat or slightly decreasing or rising substantially. Text in the figure reads, Figure 1, number of broadcast licenses by type, 2010 to 2024. Source, radioworld.com/news-and-business/business-and-law/am-station-totals-continue-2-2024. erode-in-the-u-s. Back to the text. I have extended the time frame in Figure 1 below upward from 2010 to 2024, the latest FCC station data available. Here is the take-home result regarding the number of station licenses. There are about 1,500 more FM stations than AM ones. But the trend is largely flat, with only a slight downturn in the trend for AM stations. This is hardly in line with the personal windshield view based upon, for instance, Stephen King dropping his four AM stations in Maine. We will see that there is a local market explanation for AM stations in Maine not doing well in recent years. As has been the case since 1970, there are still over 4,000 AM station licenses on the books in the U.S. And while FM has grown slightly, it is largely also stable at around 6,500 stations over the past 15 years. These patterns are not consistent with the fundamentals of AM station license cancellation widely across the U.S. The most change involves the decided growth in FM translators and boosters, and, to a lesser extent, low-power FM licenses. FM translators rebroadcast a primary AM or FM station's signal on a different FM frequency, typically to expand coverage or fill in reception gaps. Boosters may be on the same FM frequency as their content-supplying FM station to enhance signal reception. While there is not an exact number, according to the FCC, one estimate is there were about 2,800 FM translators relaying AM broadcast stations in 2020. Stein, 2020. Yes, the FM translators do directly affect AM stations. Indeed, some writers, such as Dick Taylor, bunch all FM signals together to seriously shadow the size of the AM station market. Taylor, 2024. But this same writer ends with a mantra that it is the content that matters, so it is important to understand that an FM translator or booster that has programming originated by an AM station is still an AM station's content. I do not bunch all FM licenses together, as we do not have the data to ensure that we fully understand their connections to AM or FM commercial stations. But if AM radio is in systematic decline, we should see predictable fluctuations in the number of licenses year over year. A figure on this page shows trend lines that are flat, fluctuating slightly, or in one case has a big spike and then drops down. The text reads, Figure 2, percent annual change of broadcast licenses by type 2010 to 2024. Source, radioworld.com/news-and-law/am-station-totals-continue-to-erode-in-the-u-s. Back to the text. In Figure 2, I present these data reconfigured as percent change from year to year. This necessarily omits 2010 as the original base year for change calculation. This set of trend lines puts the relative changes in AM versus other FM licenses into perspective over the 15-year horizon. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.